Life Point Church. How's everybody doing today? Good, good, good. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here. I want to give a quick shout out to Jared, who just led worship. He found out that he was doing that roughly 2.5 hours ago. Unfortunately, Mike is having a little bit of a family emergency. I think everything's okay, but he couldn't be here this morning. But give it up for Jared for stepping in. Proud of that dude. He does such a great job in leading that worship. So we're honored to have him. And like I've said many times, it's been incredible to watch him grow and mature just as an individual, but also in his relationship with Christ and his serving with his gifts and his talents. So enough of blowing Jared's head up and giving him, you know, an arrogant complex, because that's, you know, kind of guy he is. Not at all. Anyways, so thank you all so much for being here today, for choosing Life Point Church to be your place of worship. We're excited to have you. And today we are wrapping up our current series that we're in called 30 Days. And what we've been doing in this series is we're looking at how differently we would live our lives if we knew that we only had 30 days left to live. If we really embrace the fact that life is brief, right? That it's just a moment. That tomorrow is not promised. And if we truly embrace that, man, how differently would we live our lives? And so far in this series, we've talked about the importance of living in the moment, right? That's what we talked about on week one. Week two, we talked about making sure that we have and maintain an eternal perspective. Last week, we talked about leaving a godly legacy and how that starts today. And this week, in this fourth and final week, we're going to talk about the importance of fighting for peace. Fighting for peace. So let's kick this thing off, just as we have every week, with our key scripture for this series. And it's found in Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5, where we see David calling out to God. He says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire life is but a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." He's saying this and crying out to God. Same thing we should be saying is, "God, remind me how brief my time on earth is." Because when we understand that and embrace it, we live differently. We view each moment, each interaction, each second differently than we would if we were just living as if, you know, we had all the time in the world. James put it this way. He said, it's a mist, right? It's a bit of vapor. It's here for a second and then vanishes. How differently would we live each day if we understood this? Not just with a head knowledge, but with a heart knowledge and truly embraced it. How would things be different? And I know that with each person in here, we're all different, we're all wired different, so we would answer this question somewhat differently. But I can guarantee you, I'm extremely confident that every single person here would begin to think about their relationships as a part of that. If you knew that you only had 30 days left, you'd start to think about the people that are in your lives, right? You'd think about your spouse or your kids, your grandkids. You would think about your parents or your friends. You would begin to think about the people that are in your life, the people that impacted your life, the people that maybe aren't in your life that you wish were still in your life. You would begin to think about and examine your relationships. And I've talked about this kind of throughout this whole series. A friend of mine, Jim, was talking about, like, why do you keep talking about this? You make me cry every week. And, you know, he's like, look, Andy's just kind of working through it. So, but, you know, I had a close friend that passed away just a few months ago. And when I think about once they kind of comprehended that this thing was not going well, I mean, all the stories that I heard during those last days were he was wanting to spend time with his family. He was wanting to spend time with his friends. You know, his sister was in communication with Jen a lot, and she's like, man, he talks about you all the time. And he's just, because he was processing his relationships. Because that's what we would do. Because relationships are so important in our lives. See, we've got to understand that this life is really about relationship. It's about being in relationship with other people. That's why we talk so much here at LifePoint Church about doing life, right? Doing life together as a family, as a community. That's what we're called to do. Jesus, you know, we see that relationships were incredibly important to him. I mean, you can't read through his earthly ministry in the New Testament and not see how important relationships were. I mean, the whole time that he walked the face of this earth, it was relationships, in and out of relationships. And he modeled that and lived out what a true relationship was and what true love looked like in such a beautiful way that, unfortunately, many of us have never seen that. Some of us may have never even experienced that. Or if we do see it, it's so, like, kind of weird and strange because it's just uncommon. But please understand that relationships and loving people is vital to our human experience. It's a must in our relationship with Christ. It's a must. It's a foundational element of being a true Christ follower. You can't have one without the other. You have to love people, all people, not just the people that you want to love or that fit in your nice little clean box. You have to love all people and be in relationship. And if you're not experiencing or living out or expressing that kind of love that Jesus did, if you're not living that out, man, you're missing the boat. You're missing the mark on what this whole thing is about. Because we're called to love people with the love of Christ, just as he did. And this isn't my agenda. This is what we see in the life of Jesus. We see this in Scripture. It's a mandate. It's a calling. We're called to be obedient in this fact of loving people, of being in relationship with people. Love is critical. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, we see that Jesus was being questioned by some of the scribes and the Pharisees, right? And they're like trying to trip him up. And they're like, hey, teacher, you know, what's the greatest commandments, right? And this is one of my favorite scriptures. And Jesus said this. He said, love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And then check this out. He says, there is no commandment greater than these. No commandment greater than these. To love God with everything that's within you. Right? Heart, soul, mind, strength, everything that you have. May you love God with that. And then you love others. You love people as yourself. See, we have to embrace that. If we're going to be a Christ follower, right, if we're going to be a church of people that truly want to live out the gospel, we've got to love God, and we've got to love people. And if we can't do that, we ought to just shut the doors. See, we're called to love. We've got to embrace the fact that we were created as relational beings. There's something deep within our DNA that longs to be connected to other people. It longs for connection, authentic, intimate connection with other people. It longs for that. We have to have that to sustain us. We've got to be in fellowship with other people. It's a divine calling. And honestly, chances are pretty good at the number of people that are here today that you have a relationship, at least one relationship right now in your life that's not going so hot. Right? That's not where it should be. It's not where you want it to be. At least one, maybe more. Maybe it's because it's something that's a kind of a you issue, right? Maybe you struggle like actually speaking life into people. Right? You struggle with empathy, or maybe you struggle with maybe breaking free from some of those narrow-minded views and beliefs that you were brought up with that just strictly aren't from God. Maybe you just struggle with that, and that's affecting your relationships and your ability to love. Or maybe it's because you struggle with that to love all people because it's tough sometimes, and you just don't want to put in the work. And you struggle with that, and it's affecting your relationships. I mean, unfortunately, in our world today, it seems like there's very, very few people that truly love like Jesus loved, that truly love all people. I even just venture to say that probably some of you have some relationships that aren't only just struggling, but I mean, they're broken, right? They're deteriorating for whatever reason. Maybe that relationship is completely severed. Maybe it's a family relationship, right? And it's strained. You're not seeing eye to eye, or you've actually even severed that relationship because of some unresolved issue that you just haven't been willing to work through. And so it just sits there, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. Maybe it's a friendship that has simply just gone away for whatever reason. Again, maybe it's just done, and you were real tight with them at one point in time, but you're just like, whatever. Maybe it's with your spouse, right? Maybe you still live under the same roof, and maybe, you know, you're still together, but really you're strangers. Strangers living in the same household. There's tension, there's mistrust, there's bitterness, unresolved hurt that you're unwilling to work through. There's anger, right? There's zero patience or understanding for the other person. Your relationship, you're just there's apathy in your relationship. No hope. And you've just kind of given up. I don't know what the case may be for you, but I'm confident in that all of us probably have some type of relational issue right now. But what I want you to understand is that's not God's plan. That's not his plan. That's a result of this fallen world. That's not his plan for us. He wants us to be in relationship. So I want to share with you kind of what, from Scripture, what he thinks about our relationships and how he wants us to handle this, knowing that things have that we're flawed and that we're not perfect and that we do have relational issues, how he wants us to handle that. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, and he instructs us in this way. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Man, simply put, we're to make every effort to have peace with people. To make every effort to have peace in our relationships. That's what we're called to do. Not just to put forth just a little bit of effort, like, hey, I'm gonna hang this text out there and ball's in your court and I'm walking away. Just to say that we did it so that we feel good about ourselves. No, it says make every effort to battle, to fight, to scratch, to claw, tooth and nail, like for real, fight for this relationship. Fight for peace. It's a calling. And sure, it may be strained. It may be even severed or unhealthy, but God is calling us to fight for peace in our relationships. It's important. We're relational beings. And I know this is tough. I'm not going to sit up here and act like this is easy. But regardless of what was done, regardless of the hurt that happened or what was said or what wasn't said that needed to be said, God is calling us to fight for peace. And we've got to put in that work. And I know that some of us, and me at times as well, man, I would rather just kind of ignore the issue. Right? I got a lot of things going on. Your little drama over here is the least of my worries. It's easier to ignore it and just to keep it moving, but that's not our calling. I mean, our calling is to fight for peace. That's what we're called to do. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, you know, I've tried in the past. It doesn't even matter at this point in time. It just is what it is. No, we're called to fight for peace. Well, you don't, that sounds well and good for you, and you can do that, but you don't know what was done to me, or you don't know what this person, how they hurt me. No, we've got to fight for peace. I mean, that's what we're called to do. You don't know what they said. You don't know what they did to that person that I love. Fight for peace. And again, trust me, I'm not saying this is easy, but we are called to fight for peace. And as we begin this conversation, I want you to know that you are not responsible for that other person. You're not responsible for the outcome, but you are responsible for you. And you're responsible to be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Therefore, you're responsible to fight. to fight for peace. The end result will be the end result. But we are called to fight for peace. It's a calling from God. So with that being said, like, how do we do this? How do we kick this off? How do we move forward? How do we take those steps in fighting for peace? What does it actually look like in our day-to-day life? And the first thing that I want you to see is we fight for peace, we're going to have to be able to confront humbly. We've got to be humble in how we confront people or how we confront situations or issues. But the fact of the matter is we have to confront them. If you're going to fight for peace, you've got to confront. And some people don't like to confront, but we have to. That's what it looks like when you fight for peace. You have to first own the issue, right? You can't just ignore it. You can't just look over it. You've got to fight. In order to do that, you've got to own where this relationship's at, or what happened, or what didn't happen, or what needs to happen. You've got to own those things and begin to bring about that relational reconciliation. And this is what Jesus had to say about that. When he's talking about that reconciliation, he says this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. He says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." Now, seriously, like, how many of you all, if you've been in church for any length of time, have had a pastor or a spiritual advisor, someone actually teach you that, actually share that with you? I mean, that wasn't my experience. My experience was kind of more of like, hey, you got this issue with this relationship or this or that, we'll just take it to God, right? Pray about it. Just let God know about it and it'll get better. Or maybe it's just because you don't need them in your life. Maybe it's because they're a non-believer and you shouldn't even be associating with them anyways. I mean, that's some of the things that I heard. I wasn't taught this, right? This scripture was never brought forth to me when I was having relationship issues with friends or whatever it be throughout my life. But see, in his word, God is actually saying, man, listen, he's like, if you're spending time with me and you're worshiping me, though, that's great. But if you're doing all those things, yet you have issues with this relationship, or you have something against this person, or they got something against you, he's like, go take care of that first. He said, if you're worshiping me and you're spending all this time with me, but you're not handling your relationships, you're a hypocrite. You're living a life of a hypocrite because you're not handling your relationships. He said, man, if you're here at the altar offering a gift, but your brother has something against you, man, leave it. Bail on it. Go take care of that. Then come back and let's be in fellowship. Man, I've never heard that. I was never taught that. But that's what we're called to do, man. That's how we fight for peace. You got to restore those relationships as you fight for peace. When I was preparing for this, I was thinking about my man Greg, who's sitting over here, and many of you know Greg, but he's been sharing with me over the past several months some things that have been going on in his life, and he has given me permission to share this story, so I don't want you to sit here and think I ain't telling Andy anything because he's going to tell all my business, but he's given me permission to share this. But he's been talking to me a lot about his relationship with his son and how it's tough right now. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of things that he doesn't understand or know what's going on or why. But what I do know is, based off what he's been telling me in our conversation, that dude is fighting for peace in that relationship. He's fighting for that relationship. And he modeled this perfectly. Like, he soft toss right here. He set me up for success on this one. But he modeled this perfectly. He texted me, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago on a Sunday morning before the service. He's like, hey, bro, I'm not going to be at service this morning. I'm actually going to go to my son's church, and I'm going to try to hook up with him and so I can confront him humbly. so that we can talk about some things and hopefully grab some lunch with him and start to work these things out, because, you know, I'm reaching out and he's not coming to me, so I'm going. You know, I'm not coming to church today because I'm going to go make things right with my son. I'm going to fight for peace. See, that's what it's about. It's fighting for peace. And they had a great conversation, and they begin to take a step forward. And are things perfect? No. Is there work to be done? Yes. But he's fighting for peace. And I'm proud of him, because he's putting in the work. That's what he's doing. And that's what we have to do. We got to put in the work, and we got to fight for peace. And you may be thinking to yourself right now, like, man, I know I need healing in this relationship. I know it. I need God to heal my relationship with my dad, or my relationship with my mom, or I need God to heal my relationship with my brother and my sister. I mean, I haven't even talked to them in years, not even a Facebook message. And I need God to fix that. I need God to restore and fix and bring healing into my relationship with my spouse, or with my former best friend, or whoever it is. I need God to heal me of my relational issues, to where I struggle with empathy for other people, and I'm kind of self-centered, and I think the world revolves around me, and it affects my relationships. You know, I struggle with being critical all the time, or jealous when someone, you know, I need God to heal those things from in my life. And you need that. But you see, we've got to fight. We've got to fight for all those things. It's not just a situation of where we sit back and say, okay, God, heal this situation, and I'm just going to chill. I'm going to let you do your God thing and stay back. See, a lot of times we love the path of least resistance, right? It's easy. So I'll say my prayer. I'll say, God, I know you can heal this thing, and I'm just going to back off and you do your thing. But what we see in Scripture is we are to fight for peace. We're to make every effort to do these things. Sure, God is all powerful. Man, he can heal whatever he wants to heal. He can bring healing to that situation like that. And I believe that he can change hearts, and he can change lives, and he can mend those things. But he also says that we are to make every effort. See, we have a part to play in this. And we've got to step up, and we've got to begin to confront with humility, confront humbly. So my question for you today is, who or what is God asking you to confront? Who or what is he asking you to confront? And again, I know a lot of people don't like confrontation. They don't like to confront issues. It's easier just to kind of let them lay, but man, honestly, whenever there's any type of issue or conflict in our life, confrontation typically comes before the healing. And confrontation doesn't have to be like nose to nose, you know, Mayweather-McGregor kind of confrontation. It doesn't have to be that. But you got to step up humbly and be able to confront. So who or what is God asking you to confront? What's their name? What's the situation? Think about that. And as we do that, we've got to do it humbly. All right? We don't need to approach it with arrogance or with anger or anything like that, with spite. We have to do it with humility and grace. And as we have those conversations, we allow God to work and speak through us and guide us in that process. But we've got to be able to first confront humbly. The second thing that we need to do as we fight for peace is we've got to love deeply. We have to love deeply. And unless you've been living under a rock or completely like isolated and off the grid somewhere, you'll realize that in our world today, man, we're seriously lacking love. We're lacking love for all people. Man, we see hate all the time. We experience it all the time. And it's disgusting. It's heartbreaking, especially when it comes from people claiming the name of Christ. It's disgusting, because that's not what it's about. That's not what Jesus was about. That's not what he modeled. And we are called as true Christ followers to love. And to love all people. And to love them deeply. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says it as clear as day. It's clear as day. Above all, love each other deeply. Like, I don't know how someone that claims the name of Christ, that believes the word of God, can just totally just cast that one out. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's pretty clear cut. These are the verses I like. It's simple, right? Above all, love each other deeply. Above everything. Above your self-centeredness. Above your own wants and desires. Love all people. I mean, above your own comfort. Hello? Above your comfort level, love all people. That's what we're called to do. Scripture says it. But unfortunately, instead of having that deep love, many of us kind of display and live out this very shallow love. Right? We'll say things like, man, I love you. Oh, but you made me mad? You're dead to me. Cut off. Done. I want to do with you. Oh, you offended me? Goodbye. See ya. Oh, you believe differently than me on this topic and this topic? Well, I can't be in fellowship with a heretic like you. It's shallow love. That's not what we're called to do. That's not who we are called to be as followers of Christ. Above all, love each other deeply. Why? Why should we do this? The verse continues, because love covers a multitude of sins. Man, that's some powerful stuff right there. That's some powerful love. That's supernatural love. I mean, can you imagine having love that literally covers anything and everything that someone can do to you? I mean, that's serious love. That's the kind of love that only comes from God. That's the kind of love that we can only have when we're connected to the Father. I mean, that's crazy love. And that's exactly what Jesus had. And that's what he displayed. And as a follower of Christ, you can tap into that. And you have that same type of love. We gotta live it. We gotta be willing to do it. We have to love others deeply. I mean, Jesus demonstrated and lived out a love that was that covers the sin of the world. Yet we disagree with this person on this little topic here or there, and we can't talk with him. And we're gonna blast them on Facebook. And we're going to shun them? Or because you live differently than me, I don't want my kids around you? I mean, come on. Where's that love, the deep love that God is calling us to do? Raw and authentic love is what we need to display. And of course, it's easy. It's easy to love those that are lovable, right? It's easy to love the people that like you, that say good things about you. I love those people all the time, right? But what about loving the people that hate you? What about loving the people that hurt you? That's where I need God. I can't do that on my own. I gotta rely on him for that. We have to seek his guidance and his assistance in that. Because again, I'm not saying this is easy, but that's what we are called to do. So digging in and getting a little nosy, who is it that you need to love? Who is it that you need to love that you're currently not loving, that you're not willing to love, or that it's uncomfortable for you to love? Who is it? Who is it? Gotta identify it, and you gotta make changes. I'm telling you, we need God to help us with that. But that's what we're called to do. We have to love deeply. Man, life is too short. We gotta love deeply today. The third and the final thing that we see that we need to do is we fight for peace. And this is probably the most difficult. So if you thought the other two were tough, buckle up. But we've got to forgive irrationally. We have to forgive irrationally. And man, this is tough. This is tough. Sometimes I don't like to forgive people. It feels good for a moment to hold a grudge and to be angry. I feel like I'm actually doing something, but I'm doing nothing but hurting myself. We have to forgive irrationally. That's what we're called as Christ followers to do. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another." And the big issue with this verse, the tough thing for us to embrace in here, and honestly the tough thing for me to sit up here and say, is the word whatever. Whatever. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Yeah, easy for you to say, God. And I'll forgive whatever grievances. All right, Mr. Preach Man, that's cool. I'm sure that works for you. Forgiven whatever, but man, you don't know what she put me through. Man, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad she hurt me. You don't know the rumors that they spread about me and how they drug my name through the mud for years and the pain and the hurt that came with that. Man, you just don't understand. You don't know. You don't know how their selfish actions destroyed our marriage and destroyed our family. You just don't know. You don't know how they hurt my kids. And I'm supposed to forgive whatever? Obviously, you don't know anything about the abuse that I experienced. You don't know the trauma that still exists, the pain, the physical, the mental, and emotional pain. You just don't know. And you're just telling me that I'm supposed to forgive irrationally? It's tough. Depending on your situation and your experiences, no doubt this may be one of the toughest and most difficult things that you will do and be able to work through. No doubt. And depending on your situation, it's difficult for me to sit up here and say, hey, you got to forgive him. Because in my flesh, in myself, I want to say, no, let's go get him. I know some guys. But that's not what we're called to do. We're supposed to forgive irrationally, as tough as it is. So it begs the question to be asked, man, how in the world do we do this? How do we do this? How do you forgive those people that beat us, right? That slandered us, that molested us? How do we forgive the people that cheated on us and ruined our lives, and ruined our families, that were unfaithful, that lied to us, that deceived us, that hurt our kid? How do we do that? Like, for real, God, like, seriously, how? How do we take that step? How do we get to the place in our lives and our relationship with you where we can actually forgive that person irrationally? How do we do that? And you see, God is so faithful and understanding that he actually, in this same verse where he's telling us to forgive whatever, he gives us the answer to that. In the same verse, he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against each other. Then he gives the answer. He says, forgiving as the Lord forgave you. Forgiving others just as God has forgiven you. See, it's easier for us to point the finger at everything that people have done to us or how they've hurt us. But when we flip that script over and we look at ourselves and the things that we've done, the people that we've hurt, and understand that God has forgiven us for those things, how could we not turn around and offer the same forgiveness? The forgiveness that we freely receive. So I ask, what has God forgiven you of? Where's God forgiven you? Like, really, think back through your life. When you're struggling with those things and forgiving those people, what has God forgiven you? Maybe he's forgiven you of anger, forgiven you of lust, of addictions, forgiven you of manipulation, of He's forgiven you of that affair. He's forgiven you of that assault, those abusive words that you've said to your friends or to your spouse or even to your kids. He's forgiven you for the hate that you had in your heart. Maybe he's forgiven you for being ungrateful for his forgiveness, for his mercy, for his grace and his love that he gives us, that he gave his son for, laid down his life for us to have those things. And yet we look and say, hey, that's cool. Thank you. We're going to go do our own thing. And he's forgiven us for that kind of attitude. I mean, the list could go on and on, but there's no doubt that he has forgiven us from so many things. And again, if we can receive his forgiveness, how could we turn around and not offer it to somebody else? That's how we're able to forgive. Because again, man, if we're receiving his forgiveness and we're enjoying that gift from him, that forgiveness that I don't deserve, that forgiveness that you don't deserve, yet we are embracing it and then being unwilling to extend it to other people, we're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. We're exactly what people say about us. That's what we're called to do, to forgive irrationally. And that's what leads us to do that. And that's why we have to do that, because he has forgiven us. Therefore, we have to be willing to forgive others. There's no way that we can sit here and accept that and then turn someone else away. We just can't do it. We have to be willing to forgive. And again, Jesus modeled this perfectly for us. Incredibly. I know some of your stories, and I know the stories, unfortunately, that happen to people in this fallen world. I work with kids every single day for the past 11 years that have experienced the most hellacious abuse and neglect that you'll ever experience, some of them being 6 years old, and my heart breaks for them. And I think about, as I'm saying these things, I think about those kids and how tough it is for me to look at one of them and say, you've got to forgive them. It's heavy. But Jesus, man, he showed us how to do this. He modeled this for us. He's not asking us to do something that he didn't himself do. You see, in the last 24, 48 hours of his life, he experienced a whole lot. He was arrested, right? He was betrayed by one of his best friends. He was taken to court. He was judged and found guilty for crimes he didn't commit. He was beaten beyond belief, nearly beaten to death, then was made to carry his own form of execution to the place where he was going to be executed. He was mocked. He was spit on, right? Then he was nailed to that cross and lifted up for the whole world to see. The mocking continued. They put a crown of thorns on his head as a mockery. And then to top it all off, some of his friends turned their back on him. And what did Jesus say? What did he do? In the most stunning display of irrational forgiveness, Jesus said this in Luke 23, verse 34. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's crazy. That's irrational forgiveness. And if he can say those words, man, so can we. If he can be so bold to forgive that in that moment, we've got to be able to forgive irrationally. So who is it today that you need to forgive? Who is it today that you need to forgive? Or let me ask it like this. From whom do you need to seek forgiveness? Who do you need to go to and say, hey, forgive me for this? Because maybe you're the perpetrator. Maybe you're the person that hurt someone or that manipulated someone, or you did this or that, and you know it. Who is it that you need to forgive, and who is it that you need to seek forgiveness? man, we got to fight for peace. We got to do it today. You put it off today, you're going to put it off tomorrow, and you're just going to keep on back in the same ground, in the same cycle, living life your way, and just cruising. But it's too short. It's brief. Life is but a vapor, man. It's here for a little while and then passes away. So it's time for us to fight for peace. We got to fight. And it's important because life's about our relationships. That's what people see, man. You got to live out the gospel. You got to live out the message of Jesus. You got to live out love every single day. In order to do that, we've got to fight for peace. So we're going to confront humbly. We're going to confront humbly. We're going to love deeply. And we're going to forgive irrationally as we are obedient to what God is calling us to do. And I pray that we would be obedient as individuals and that we would be obedient as a church. And again, and we're not responsible for that person. We're not responsible for the outcome. The outcome is God's responsibility. He's got that. But we're responsible to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. And he's calling us to fight for peace. So let's live every single day of our lives knowing that life is short. God, remind me of how brief our life is. And let's commit to fighting for peace. Let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us so much. God, we thank you for the example of your son, Jesus. Not only the fact that he came and died for us, shed his blood for us, and then defeated death, hell, and the grave and rose again, Lord, but that in his life he modeled every single thing that we need. God, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for your word where we get to read that and hear from you through that. God, may we be a church and a people that fight for peace, that fight for our relationships, that live out love. God, may we be that type of church. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today and you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've been coming to LifePoint for a while, or maybe this is your first time here, or whatever it may be, first time in church ever or in a long time, but regardless of your situation, you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never accepted him as your Savior. The fact that you are flawed and that you are in desperate need of a Savior and you've never called on his name. I mean, if that's you today, I'm telling you, I mean, God is he's calling to you, and he wants to be connected to you. Just as we're called to be connected with people, most importantly, we're called to be connected to God. It's the most important relationship in your life. It's the most important relationship you'll ever have. And he wants that with you. He wants that. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've been about. He offers you that irrational forgiveness. That hope. Through his son, he offers that to us. And scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. You'll be connected to him. It's about confessing and believing. And if God is leading you in that direction today, if you feel that pull in your heart, he's leading you to him, don't push that off. Just trust him. And just lay your life down to him. Just call out to him how he leads you. Just confess and believe. He says, once you do that, you are eternally connected to him. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. And that forgiveness is there. That love is there. That peace is there, and it never goes away. And he's always there by your side. And if that's you, man, call out to him today. Maybe you're here and you are already a Christ follower. You've been a Christ follower for a little bit, or for maybe many, many years. But your relationships are on the rocks. And you've been that person that you've come to church and you spend time with God, yet your relationships are just an afterthought. It's time to start getting those relationships right. It's time to put in the work and fight for peace. You're not responsible for the outcome, but you're responsible for obedience. It's time to be obedient today. Maybe there's that person that you need to confront humbly. Maybe there's that person or those group of people or whoever it may be that you need to love deeply. Or maybe there's that person or that situation that you need to forgive irrationally. Maybe it's all three. Tap into God to give you the strength to do those things, because it's not easy. But He's got your back. And through Him, we can do all things. And we can fight for peace. And it's a grind. But it's worth it. And He's calling you to do that. It's your calling. As I close out in prayer, I want you to seriously do some business with God. Spend that time here in a moment while Jared and team play. Let God speak to you and guide you and direct you in what you need to do. Maybe it's that you need to accept Him as your Savior. Maybe you just need to get some things in check relationally or just in your life here. Maybe it's something totally different than anything that I've said up here today, and I love that. I'm cool with that because I want God to do what God does. But whatever it is, take the time and you do that tough work with God. Spend that time with Him. God, we thank You again for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. God, we thank You for speaking this morning and being in our presence, Lord. God, and I pray for each and every person that's here, God, that You would speak to them. And You would reveal to them what it is, God, that maybe they need to correct, or that they need to get right, or that relationship that needs restoration, God, and what their next steps are in that, Lord, that You would reveal that to them and that they have the boldness and the courage to step out and begin to fight for peace. God, I pray for those that may not know You as their Savior. God, I pray that whatever it is that's holding them back, God, that You would heal that. That You would speak truth and life into that, God, and cast out the lies. Cast out the damage and the hurt that's been done maybe by the church or by so-called Christian guys that's preventing them from stepping over that line, God. Or whatever it may be, God, I pray that You would just speak truth in that area, God, and that they would just surrender their life. God, we love You and we thank You. In Your name we pray.